We're going to read it in unison together. Let's begin. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were seated. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. Amen. I invite you to turn in your Bibles if you have not already, and also in the bulletin on the back side of the VBS announcement is an outline that will go along with the message if you find that helpful, to follow along with it, and the PowerPoint presentation as well. We have been doing a series through the Gospel of John and went all the way through Easter and the resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection of Christ, and then we moved into Acts chapter 1 when Jesus gave instruction to the disciples before he ascended back to the Father. And then for a couple of weeks we took a break from going through that series in the Scripture and focused on the ministry of the Holy Spirit in some various ways. And now we're back to Acts chapter 2 and pick up again in the series in Acts. And we'll continue on that. I will be leaving Monday for a district conference down in Seaford, Delaware. And by the way, anyone is welcome to come to any of the services each night, Monday night through Thursday morning is a communion service. Anyone is welcome to come for those services. If you're interested, please speak to me. And I'll be back then next Thursday. And because of the short week, Christoph Koning has agreed to preach for me next Sunday, so we look forward to hearing him bring the word next week. We appreciate that very much. But this morning, I want to continue in the series in Acts, and I want to talk to you about the Comforter who has come. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your precious word, Lord. We ask that you will speak to us now from your word. May it impact us. May it touch our hearts, and Lord, may the purpose for which you have set out your word, may it accomplish it in our lives. Lord, give us ears to hear and hearts to obey you. We receive now all that you have for us through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, through the word. In Christ's name, amen. I remember after high school, and I graduated as some of our high schools will be doing or have done. And I left the church that we had attended, that my family had attended, and that my parents made me attend the last few years of my high school life. And in my mind and in my young carnality, it had become irrelevant to me. And that is as much my fault as it is any particular church. But I remember going to a small church after about a year and a half, and remember the thing that struck me about this small church that went to be a part of was that it began to receive teaching from the Word on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I need to tell you, as I received that teaching and received the truth of God's Word into my life, it began to change me, it began to transform my life. And I pray that the ministry and the teaching of the Holy Spirit will impact your life and change you as well. As we talk about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the day of Pentecost, I want you to picture with me this day. This is the day that Jesus had spoken to His disciples about. He had spoken to them about the Spirit's coming. He had told them to wait in Jerusalem until they received power from on high in the Gospel of Luke. He said to them at the beginning of Acts, He says, wait in Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem, because in a few days, as John baptized with water, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so they were waiting with anticipation. I don't think they understood in the least what was about to happen. And so the day has fully come. It is the festival of Pentecost. We'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. And as they're gathered together, in obedience to the Lord Jesus, who told them to wait and to pray, and they're waiting and they're praying, all of a sudden, as they're there together in one place, suddenly this sound from heaven comes and fills the whole house like a great wind. Notice with me, it is not a wind, but it is a sound from heaven that sounds like the wind. And then they see these fiery tongues that come to rest upon each one of them. We know fire is a symbol of the cleansing, purifying nature of the Holy Spirit. And they see these flames come and separate and rest upon the heads of each one of them. Can you imagine? I wonder if they began to think if they were about to have another one of those exorcism sessions that Jesus had in His ministry. So these tongues of fire split and come to rest on all of them. And then the Scripture says here that all of them are filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all begin to speak in unlearned tongues, unlearned languages. The crowd of God-fearing Jews and converts to Judaism who are from all over the world. We read that litany of where they're from. And some of them we know where they're from, and others of them you could hardly pronounce. You don't know where they're from. Cappadocia, it sounds something like a coffee drink. Cappuccino. There's all kinds of places that these Jews are from, and they've been dispersed throughout the world, but they've come back for the festival. And they hear these disciples, these unlearned Galileans, speaking in their native languages. They hear them declaring the wonders of God. And it says they're amazed and perplexed. And then we finish that passage, and some of them mock them and say, oh, they've had too much wine. You know, these friends of Jesus, these disciples of Jesus, Jesus was a wine bibber. So these friends of Jesus, you know, they've had a little too much wine. They've gotten a little too crazy. Something has happened here. Something unbelievable. And it has made such an impact that you either are amazed with it or you're mocking it. But there's no in between. It's an amazing event. They're amazed and they're perplexed. And they ask the question, what is this? What are we to make of this? And so my question to us this morning is, what are we to make of this? This amazing event that is happening. And I submit to you this morning that it is not so much the events that are happening along with the disciples that are to be our primary focus. Though they are very important, they are epic events, meaning that most of them are non-repeatable events. Those are very important, and they're exciting, and they're amazing, but that is not to be our primary focus of what the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit is to be all about to us. But rather, we are more interested and concerned about the effect, the impact of the coming of the Holy Spirit that He has for your life and for my life. It's great and it's fine that there were tongues of fire that came to separate upon them. It's wonderful and amazing that there was a sound that comes from heaven like the blowing of a mighty wind. And we get that sense of the power of God filling the whole house where they're seated. And it's wonderful that they speak in these unknown tongues, which is a gift that God at times still gives today. But what's more important, and what's to be more of a focus for us, is what is the impact, what is the effect that the coming of the Holy Spirit would have upon your life and my life today, almost 2,000 years later, in this day and age that we live. And what is that? Well, I believe it's this. The main point is that the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost was the fulfillment of the Father's promise for His children, for all His children. And now the Spirit would indwell and empower every disciple of Jesus. The coming of the Holy Spirit means that God is fulfilling His promise, not just to the disciples, not just to those who become believers, some 3,000 later that day, as Peter preaches, but it is also a promise to you and to me that the Spirit is going to now indwell you and empower you and me. We read just a few verses before, Jesus had said to them in chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, He says, you are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Do you think that they understood what He meant? Do you think that they had a clue what was about to happen? And do you think that they understood how this coming of the Spirit would affect them? I think, like you and me, they probably didn't really understand what was about to happen. And nor did they think that it would happen with such dramatic and amazing aspects. But Peter understands this now. God has given him revelation through the Spirit. And so he says, later on in chapter 2, verses 32 through 33, he says this, Jesus has been exalted to the right hand of God, and now He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has now poured out what you see and hear. He has poured out the Spirit. You see, Jesus, who had ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit, did He not? Luke chapter 4, verse 14, and Jesus returns from the desert in the power of the Spirit, and He begins to minister. He begins to go about doing good and teaching everyone about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus had ministered in the power of the Spirit, and now He has received the promised Spirit from the Father and pours it out upon His disciples. Just as Jesus, who is our example and our pattern in this, His ministry was in the power and the fullness of the Holy Spirit, so ours, too, must be in the ministry of the power of the Holy Spirit. We must see that our lives, are meant to be all about Jesus living and working through us by His Spirit, to touch others, to see how God would use us, just like He used these ordinary disciples. When I received Jesus Christ, and I fully committed my life to Him, and I received the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit came into me and began to fill me and began to transform my life. All of a sudden, my life began to change. You see, before, I was only concerned about myself. I was very self-focused. I was a very self-centered person. It was all about me. Everything was based on what was about me. What was the benefit for me? What could God do for me? What could you do for me? I was a very self-centered person, and I had my life laid out for me as if I was some gift to humanity and some gift to God. And God began to change me, and rather than being self-centered and focused on myself, I was beginning to be concerned for others. I was beginning to get a burden for other people. I was beginning to want to see that they would know the love and the hope of Jesus Christ. You see, the Holy Spirit, who had come into my life, was beginning to change me. The effect and the impact of the ministry of the Holy Spirit was changing my selfish, self-centered heart. And then amazingly, Tom Leonard, a kid who was somewhat shy and insecure and they really had never thought about sharing Christ with anybody. All of a sudden I was feeling moved, I was feeling burdened to begin to share Christ with people. Haltingly, making lots of failures and mistakes along the way, but just urged, as it says, the love of Christ compels us to share His love and His grace with other people. And others began to look at me and say, "What is going on with you? Oh no, you're one of those Jesus freaks." Amen. And one fellow who began to call me Billy Graham in the hospital that I worked in. One day I was washing the dishes. And that's what I did at the hospital, in the kitchen, wash the dishes, wash the pans. And I had to come to the place of realizing God calls me to be the best dishwasher, be the best pot washer that I can be. And so if you wash dishes, if you wash pots, if you sweep the floor, if you, whatever you do, Jesus calls us to be the best that you can be in whatever He calls you to. And so I'm in there washing pots, and my friend Len came up. And we're talking, he was goofing off, I'm trying to get my work done, and so I said, "You know what, I'm busy, and I'm either going to talk to him about Jesus, or I'm going to get my work done." So I turned to him and I said, "Hey, Len," I said, "God has been doing something pretty interesting in my life, you know. I've received Jesus Christ as my Savior, and man, He is just changing my life, you know, looking for an opening." And he turned to me and said, "What are you, some Billy Graham now? Get away from me." That's what he said. "Get away from me." And he just walked off. I said, "Well, okay. I can get back to my work now. You don't want to talk about Jesus? I'll get my work done." Now, I was very young, very foolish, and headstrong. But God was beginning to change my heart. I wasn't afraid any longer about what people thought of me. I was past it. I was more concerned about what God thought of me and the task He had called us to as Christians. I wasn't yet called to be a preacher. That was the furthest thing from my mind. But simply the fact that God calls all of us to share the love and the hope of Christ. How was I going to do that? How could I be effective? How could I have the boldness to do that? It came from the Holy Spirit who had come into my life and began to fill me, began to control me, began to change me and transform me. Such was it for the disciples on this festival day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes to them. Now, as soon as we mention this word Pentecost, we have to talk about this festival of Pentecost for just a moment. Most of us don't have a clue what this festival of Pentecost means. Well, the festival of Pentecost was what's called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Celebrating the Harvest, where they would celebrate the first fruits of the harvest coming in, the first crops of the harvest coming in. And this is first talked about in Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. It is on the 50th day after the Sabbath of Passover week. And so, as they were celebrating this great festival of God's provision for them physically, it is very fitting now that the Holy Spirit comes fully on the day of Pentecost and they begin to celebrate what God is providing, His provision for them spiritually. Just as God told them to celebrate the first fruits of the harvest, the physical harvest, the food that upholds and sustains us, now they're going to celebrate and they're receiving the first fruits of the Spirit. They're getting the first crop, so to speak. But guess what? There's plenty of crop left over for you and for me. They didn't receive all of the Spirit so that there's none of Him left. But no, the Holy Spirit can fill them and those 3,000 that come to Christ, and He can fill you and me as well. And so the disciples receive the first fruits of the Spirit. And the Spirit now is the sign, the inauguration of the new covenant. No longer are they under the old covenant, but they are now under the new covenant that Jesus has purchased for them by His blood. When He was in the upper room and He says, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant," they didn't understand what He meant. But now the Holy Spirit has come and He is applying to them all the benefits, all the provision of Jesus to their heart and to their life. And now they begin to make sense of this. Now they begin to see what Jesus has done for them. And so Peter explains what this is all about. He explains, he makes a connection for them back in the the prophet Joel. And so in verses 14 through 20, 14 through 19 of chapter 2, Peter addresses the crowd, and J. Johns is going to read that for us.
With the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke."
Wow, that's a lot happening. I heard a gospel preacher say one time about this passage. He said the disciples and Peter say, "We're not drunk as you suppose. We're just filled with the Holy Ghost." That's what it's all about. No, Peter says, listen carefully. We're not drunk like you suppose. But this is of the Holy Spirit. We're filled with His presence and His power now. You see, the Christian life is not merely a right system of beliefs and doctrines. We must have that. We must have sound biblical doctrine. We stick to the Word. But we must have more than this, a vital, dynamic relationship with the Holy Spirit, with His fullness and His power. And the Holy Spirit was poured out on them, and the Holy Spirit needs to be poured out on us every day. Every day. You need to have the flow of the Holy Spirit in our lives every day. And so again, as we move into what this is about, I must say that it is about the effect, it is about the impact of the Holy Spirit on your life and on my life. Let's look at it a little bit deeper. Number one, this gift of the Spirit was given to indwell every disciple of Jesus to enable us to know the Father intimately and to live in relationship with Jesus, I would add, daily. The gift of the Spirit is given so that He might indwell every disciple. That means you and me, every one of you, and every disciple through every age. Isn't that miraculous when you think about it? The Holy Spirit of Christ could fill every disciple, every true believer, since the time of His coming. That is the incredible nature of God's Holy Spirit. Because He is God the Spirit, He is infinite, He is eternal, He is not limited, and He can fill you, He can fill me, He can fill every one of you, and every believer all across this whole world. Every believer. He has been sent, He has been given to indwell us, to come to live in us. We read verse 4 of chapter 2. It says, "And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." All of them. It doesn't say that just Peter, James, and John, who were sort of the trio of leadership that rose above the others. It doesn't say it was just for them. No. Rather, the Holy Spirit has come to indwell every one of them. No longer is the Spirit of God given just for prophet, priest, and king, and no longer is His ministry given in a temporary fashion. No, but as Jesus said in John chapter 14, He says, "On that day, the day of the Spirit's coming, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." You hear those words? I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I think as Christians, sometimes we become sort of immune to those words. We sort of become, you know, vaccinated with enough Jesus that we kind of lose our mystery and the awesomeness of the fact that Jesus Christ lives in you and lives in me by His Spirit. Let's hear these words of Jesus. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 20. And Matt Dawson will read those for us.
If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live in you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
Amen. Leave that up there for me, Les. I'm telling you, if we would get a hold of this, the revelation of this in our lives, we wouldn't care what anybody thinks about us. We wouldn't care if anyone wants to come and talk to us in any situation at any time. If you understood that the Spirit of Jesus Christ lives in me and makes it real that He is in me and I am in the Father, man, what would our lives be like? I think there's time we just don't grasp it. And so often we just get so busy and so taken up with all the stuff of life that we kind of lose focus. We forget. It becomes sort of off to the side. You see, our focus, rather than on this incredible, amazing fact, our focus gets off and we see what? Problems. We see issues. We see people that give us difficulty and give us trouble. Yes, those are things that we deal with in our lives. But we've got to get our eyes off of those things and get our eyes on Jesus. As it says in 2 Corinthians, we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, the Eternal One. And He will turn our eyes to the eternal things rather than on the things of this earth, which pass away. The Comforter has come. The Counselor has come. The Helper has come. Do you hear it? He's come for you and He's come for me. Not just for this special group of Christians. Not just for certain leaders. Not just for missionaries. Not just for preachers. Not just for teachers. He has come for you and for me to make Christ real in you and in me. And He says, you will live forever. You will live forever with me. Forever. Because the Spirit is going to be a seal, a deposit, showing that you're owned by God. That's another sermon that we'll focus on another day. But the Spirit of God within us is a seal that you and I are owned. We are possessed by God. And He will never let you go. We talked about that last week. Jesus said, I have you. Those the Father has given me, I have you in my hand. And no one will snatch them out of it. And then it enables us to know the Father intimately through Jesus Christ the Son, who is in us by His Spirit. Huh, what an amazing revelation. Paul cries out in Romans 8 about this. He says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. No, but you received the Spirit who adopts you as God's son, as God's daughter. And by Him we cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out, Abba, Father. You can have that intimate relationship with Father God so that we know Him and we cry out to Him on a daily basis. Oh, Father, this day I need You. This day, Lord, I want to walk close to You. Lord, I want to walk in the fullness and the power of Your Spirit. Oh, Father, today I die to myself so that Christ may live in me. Father, today I put to death those things of my flesh that crop up and want to take control of my life. And I allow the Spirit of God to control me, to take control of my life. Brothers and sisters, that's the only way you can live the Christian life. You show me a person who tries to live the Christian life in their own strength, and they will be miserable. Because there's not one of us that can live this Christian life in our own strength. How could we, when God set up a provision for us to live in the power of His Spirit? It's almost an insult to God when we say to Him, God, I know that You have given us of Your Spirit. I know You've made this provision to have power so that I can know You, that I can be close to You. But God, I don't need that. I'm going to live in my own strength today. In fact, I'll serve You and I'll do it in the energy of the flesh. You know, there's a lot of huge mega church buildings throughout this land. And there's nothing wrong with a large church. But please understand that a large church does not ensure that it is a Spirit-filled people. Oppositely, to have a small and much more intimate and close fellowship believers, neither does that mean that you have a more Spirit-filled people. It really doesn't matter. What's more important is that the people have come to the revelation of knowing, I need the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I need His provision, I need His fullness, and I cannot live without it. I cannot. And so all the wonderful programs that our church could produce, all the wonderful drama, all the wonderful banners, all the wonderful music, and all the wonderful suits and ties and what have you, those are fine, but they do not bring about the ministry of God. I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I turn on the Christian TV and the programs, and I watch it for just a few seconds. I can't stomach it. I can't stand it. It's Hollywood celebrityism all over the Christian world. And you know, who can have the most popular guest? And who can sing the beautifulest? And who can be dressed the nicest? And who can have the hairdo the nicest? And I'm telling you, that doesn't have anything to do with the Spirit of God working in us. It has nothing to do with it. In fact, I believe God will sit back sometimes and say, what are you doing? He doesn't need all that. Do you think these disciples, do you think they were anything? I mean, they're dressed in the average, normal garb of the day. And I bet you some of them had gone to the house or the temple, whichever way it is. I bet you they'd gone there and they hadn't even shaved. I remember one time I came to church and my hair had gotten a little bit long and I'd not gotten to get a haircut. And someone looked at me and said, Pastor, you need to get a haircut. Okay, you know, I'll do that this week. But, you know, is that really that important? Come on. We're here to receive and meet with our Father and be filled with His Spirit. And so it doesn't matter if you're wearing a suit and it doesn't matter if you're wearing jeans. But you've come with a heart that is ready and wanting to have a fresh encounter and filling of the Spirit in your life. And Paul cries out, because of the Spirit that He's put in us, we can cry out, Abba, Father, Daddy. I don't know about you, but I need that every day. Sometimes I'm in the shower and my brain is starting to function, you know. I'm getting out the cobwebs with the hot water. It's steaming my eyes open. And I just begin to think, oh, Father, I cannot live this day without Your Holy Spirit. I cannot. I know I will fail. I know I will fall if You don't fill me with Your Spirit. And I remember the words that Jesus speaks. He says, if you as earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to your children, will not your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit who ask? And so I ask. Now, it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit's out there somewhere and He's not in me. I'm talking to the Spirit of God within me. But I've got to allow Him to release His power. I've got to allow Him to put the flesh to death and let His fullness flow in me. And so Paul cries out, oh, we can know Him as our Father, our Abba, our Daddy. Every one of us then, when we invite Jesus Christ into our lives, we receive the Holy Spirit who adopts us. He indwells us and He adopts us as a child of God, a daughter or a son of God. And He comes to live in us forever, to connect us with God the Father, and makes Jesus Christ the Son real in us and to us. Jesus said, unless you become like a child, you will never see the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like a child, unless you repent and turn to me like a little child, you will never enter the kingdom of God. Oh yes, it's complicated to comprehend the Trinity, the triune nature of God. How can God be the Father and the Son and the Spirit, and how can the Spirit come to live in me? You know what? I've been studying this for years and I still can't figure it out. But that's not what's so important. What's important is that He can come and live in me, a sinful human being. His Spirit can live in me and make Jesus real to me and connect me with my Heavenly Father. Amen? That's what's important. We need to have good doctrine. And our elders are here listening and making sure I'm not off base. So you can be assured. Don't worry about that. And so I would ask you a question. Have you received Jesus Christ? As He's made this provision that the Spirit can live in you and then have a relationship with Jesus every day through the Spirit, have you received Christ and that the Spirit has come to live in you and make Jesus real in your life? It doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter your nationality, your ethnicity. It doesn't matter where you grew up. You may have grown up in New Jersey like me. Maybe some of you guys grew up in New Jersey. Or you might have grown up in Boston. It doesn't matter. Some of you have grown up in other countries. Some of you are from different ethnic backgrounds. It doesn't matter because we are all sons and daughters of Jesus Christ through the Spirit. Jesus Christ can come into your life and the Holy Spirit can fill you and overflow you and indwell you. Do you know Him? The only way you know Him is by receiving Christ so that He can live in you by His Spirit. The second effect. The gift of the Spirit is given to empower every disciple of Jesus so that we can be effective witnesses of Him. The gift of the Spirit is given to empower every disciple of Jesus Christ so that we can be effective witnesses of Him. He's come to empower you, and He's come to empower me. He's come to empower the missionary that we read about, watched just a few minutes ago. By the way, that is Tim Crouch. And he and I went to seminary together. And now he's the field director for the Asian field. God has brought him to do some amazing things. And I got to be honest with you. I knew Tim in seminary, and in my smugness and arrogance, I thought, I'm not sure if he's going to make it as a preacher. Yeah, Tom, like you, anything. Yeah. Sure. And then Tim and Shelley Crouch were a part of our church planting ministry in the greater Philadelphia area. They planted a church up there. And so it's been awesome to see God use Tim and Shelley over the years. And now they're in another country. Why? Not because they're great in and of themselves, but because they are filled with the Great One. The Spirit of the Great One is living in them. The gift of the Spirit is given to empower them and empower you and me. Think with me for just a moment. How is it possible that this ragtag group of ordinary disciples could so shake up the world with the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How could that possibly happen? I'll tell you, because it was the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus who had come to live in them and then empowered them to be His witnesses, even to the point of death. Most of the disciples, we know, gave their life for their witness, for their testimony. John, the beloved John, was the oldest one who somehow God spared him to an old age. They tried to kill him, but they couldn't. And he died at a very, very old age, the Apostle John. But most of them gave their lives to be His witnesses. Again, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. When we think of the word filled, it's interesting that some of the crowd mocked them and said, oh, they're filled with new wine. I believe the King James Version has that. They are filled with wine. They've had too much wine. Isn't it interesting that that is a comparison there? Someone who would be filled with the Holy Spirit, someone would criticize them and say, oh, they're filled with wine. Why? Well, we know that alcohol, when you imbibe on alcohol, too much alcohol, it controls you. It'll fill you all right. It'll fill you up and make you a fool. And it controls you. And that's why the comparison. You see, the Holy Spirit will come into your life and He will control you. He will fill you to overflowing and He will control you. He will begin to change and transform your life and He will empower you to be a bold witness for Jesus. Isn't that what Jesus said in Acts 1, 7 through 8? Greg Lance will read that for us. Jesus told the disciples, this is what would happen.
He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
This is what Jesus said. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Notice, Jesus' words. Hear me, folks. He does not say that you will receive tongues when the Holy Spirit comes on you. He does not say you will receive fiery tongues. He does not say you will receive a powerful wind. Those things are important. They have their place. But that's not what Jesus said, is it? He says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Listen, I grew up in a lot of circles. Had a lot of friends who were in charismatic circles, Pentecostal circles. Why they would call themselves that? Because they're trying to distinguish themselves from other Christians as if they have the Holy Spirit and other Christians don't. And maybe some of them spoke in tongues. Maybe some of them had experienced miracles or something in their life. Fine. But I tell you what, I saw some people who had all kinds of spiritual gifts, who had all kinds of experience with God, and they lived the most carnal, sinful life that I've ever seen. I had one guy who I knew in high school. His name was Jerry. And you know, Jerry was a druggie. He was a pothead. He had a filthy mouth. He would just tell terrible, filthy jokes at the drop of a hat. And one day I bumped into him after high school. And we got to talking, and somehow we got to talk about the Lord. And Jerry said, oh, you know, I'm a born-again Christian now. He said, man, I go to church now, and man, I even speak in tongues. I said, praise God, man, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're my brother now. You know, I don't care whether you speak in tongues or not. I speak in tongues. So what? Big deal. And then a few minutes later, some other friends came, and you know what he did? He told the most filthy, nasty joke that I ever heard. Oh, so you're filled with the Spirit and you speak in tongues, but here you are spouting out profanity and vulgar jokes. I think there's a missing connection there. Jesus said, you're going to have power to be my witnesses, to witness of me, to witness of the reality of you in my life. And folks, if there's no change, if there's no turning away from evil and sin, I'm not talking about the fact that we might fail or fall once in a while. I'm talking about a practice of it. Then I wonder if we've really received the fullness of the Spirit. I wonder if He's come in and begun to transform my life. If my life's not transformed, I need to ask a question. And so Jesus has a gift of an empowering Spirit for each one of us. He's not just the power, but He is the Spirit, the person of God who comes to live in us. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter where you're at. All of us can be bold, effective witnesses because the Spirit of Jesus will come and empower us and speak through us if we'll let Him. If we'll let Him. Amen. We're going to end with these words of Jesus. These words of Jesus from John chapter 7. And it's printed there in your outline. Jesus said this, John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed were later to receive. Let me ask you as I close this morning, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty for the Spirit of God to fill you, perhaps in a fresh way, or perhaps for the first time? Perhaps you need to come to Christ so that He can fill you. He can come into your life and empower you and indwell you and make you a child of God. And then there are those of us that perhaps the flow of the Spirit has dwindled to a trickle. Maybe there's some of us that feel like it's just been constricted in our life for various reasons down to a little drop, a little trickle. And maybe you need God to fill you afresh and anew. You see, I'm not so concerned about the experiences. When you read through Acts, there's lots of experiences, lots of different amazing things that happen. Some of those are non-repeatable things. Some of them happen even today. But what's most important is that we have received the fullness of the Spirit. Jesus said, "Are you thirsty? Come to me, and the Spirit will flow from within you." I'm going to pray and then ask the worship team to come and close us in that beautiful song that we just sang, "Holy, Holy, Holy." Let's pray together.